presenting Orson Welles as the Third Man. The Lives of Harry Lyme. The fabulous stories of the immortal character originally created in the motion picture The Third Man, with zither music by Anton Kara.
That was the shot that killed Harry Lyme. He died in a sewer beneath Vienna. As those of you know who saw the movie The Third Man, yes, that was the end of Harry Lyme. But it was not the beginning. Harry Lyme had many lives. And I can recount all of them. How do I know? Say simple. So my name is Harry Lyme. You know, I've always believed in saying it with flowers. It's a nice, expensive language. In my experience, an orchid unlocks more doors than a skeleton key. But how you can say and mean so many things a bunch of flowers. Well, the old saying, orchids for riches, roses for passion, lilies for purity and thorns. But for me, some flowers have a different meaning. Roses, red roses, remind me of an ash blonde with gray green eyes. That's another story.
Third Man in Violet, Sweet Violet.
It is passing strange that a city like Marseille, about as wicked as they come, should be so abloom with churches and cathedrals. Or is it strange? Is this merely another example of irony? You know, the double face of life, comedy and tragedy and tyranny. I think about this as I make my way to the old town directly after landing at the port. I consider the ancient church of Saint Victor the case in point. It's fire like the center of Marseille. It's not in the 13th century. It once attached to an early 4th century abbey. St. Lazarus once languished in its catacombs. And tourists can still see the black image of the Virgin attributed to St. Luke. But I'm not a tourist. I was about to pass the crumbling fortress-like church when a ruin of another sort animated itself and called toward me.
Violet, sweet Violet, convent. Spare a few
pence
for the
greatest power
of the
breath
of English countryside.
Take more than your violets to sweeten my soul, Mother. What do you know of the English countryside?
I was born in England, that's what. And if I choose to warm the old
bones
in warmer
climate,
that's
more than it is, kind sir. You're a prickly old puss. And just for such courage with a possible customer, I'll purchase a bunch of your dilapidated blossoms.
Oh, thank you, sir. I knew you was a proper gentleman the moment I laid eyes on
you. And perhaps a little information.
What kind of information?
Are you acquainted with a certain pilot by the name of Griffo?
Griffo? What would you want with him, gentlemen?
Words, Mother, a few simple words.
You be his friend?
Neither friend nor foe. I've never met him.
So you'll see. Griffo makes no friends.
Then we have something in common.
It's your lot. You can find the crow's nest, pay them in saloon and lodging, down the next street and whatever. The calmness, it's just pulling over the noise.
The beginning for a sinister character. Who would all give his alarming physical peculiarity and sort of feeling like a magnet. By that word on excellent authority that he was king of the thriving black market trade in Marseille. And I approached the crow's nest and agreed with the old violet woman more kindly and entered the noisome place twirling my bunch of violets. Ships landed, lighted the place, fishing nets and cobwebs decorated the walls, and I swear that some of the patrons boasted barnacles. But at the bar, with a swearing green parrot on his shoulder, was Griffo, Griffo, complete with star and iron hook.
Not me,
plays
the county law. There'll be no eating overboard a man who comes to close as the Pug is. He's either a maniac or a fox. And this one's no madman.
Greetings from Reynard, Scripple.
Reynard, is it? I've read the papers, matey. What the fox is our name?
Harry Lyme.
Harry Lyme. I know that one, too.
Your fame is also known to me, Scripple, old man.
Nothing but him gave Violet the way a gentle Annie.
Is that her name?
Well, she's been called other things.
She told me where you dropped anchor. The most important fact concerning you I had before arriving in port.
Maybe we'd better have a private talk, Mr. Lyme.
Your servant, Mr.
Follow me. Run in a bucket of gold for me and my friend Costa. At the double flipper. State your business, Mr. Lyme.
There are those who say you control the black market in my state.
You're a cool one.
Supplying scarce items to the populace for a price. Ripple's price, that is.
Well, I want to use it. You don't think much of your life, do you, mate?
No, on the contrary, I've got a wealth of my lives.
Lives?
As of a cat, I have more than one old man. I realize I wouldn't be the first victim to feel your hook in my throat, Ripple. This I guarantee. I'd be the last.
You've got the gold of second Gripper.
What is stating a fact, old man? I'm not altogether alone, am I, sir? I have friends, associates, who could even reach you.
You're a liar.
Funny.
Maybe we can make a deal, matey. My business is expanding. I could use a sharper like you.
You're beginning to sound more intelligent.
You don't like me any more than I like you, Mr. Lyme. It's a fine start. We should do ourselves some good.
Ourselves and no one else.
Aye. Meet me tonight over on South Bank of Old Harbor. There's an old warehouse there, last one on the dock. Abandoned, they say.
But you say differently, huh?
Come and see for yourself, Mr. Lyme. 11 o'clock?
6 bells, is it, Gipple?
Maybe we got more in common than I thought. Never done a stroke of good, matey.
Mark, I beg your pardon, let's get those willing and trouble to draw. When I left Codenet, fog was beginning to drift in, smelling thickly of salt water and things long dead, forgotten. Such atmosphere always depresses me. I left Old Town on my way to one of the better hotels in my sake, or rather appropriately, I thought, the Slop Door, the Golden Fleece. My quarters were good, the dinner was excellent, the wine superb, the price is outrageous. I was enjoying an after-dinner cigar when something new, a uniform, was added.
Am I addressing Herr Eilheim?
Why, yes.
I am Colonel von Stuhl, German occupation police.
Well, won't you join me, Colonel?
Richtig.
What is your pleasure? Cognac?
Nothing, thank you, sir. You are notorious, Herr Lyme.
I prefer the word celebrated.
I am here to warn you to make your stay as brief as possible in Marseille and to cause no incident so long as you are here. We have enough trouble with these peasants.
I can't imagine why my presence should be of any concern to the occupation authorities, sir. I assure you I have no intention of starting anything except escapades that might contribute to my pleasure.
What do you mean by that?
I'm here on holiday. I shouldn't worry you.
The occupation lies about nothing.
Congratulations, old man. You may change your mind.
What?
About the corner.
Now, you will do well to remember my warning, Herr Lyme.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen.
And thanks for dropping by, Colonel Rangel. You may prove most useful to me. Fog lay in my throat like cold cotton. I came to the abandoned warehouse and waterfront of Old Harbor. Backwater lapped listlessly against the pilings of the dock, and the damp crept into my bones. The whole atmosphere of the place was one of defeat, despair, and hopelessness. I was anxious to get my business over and pushed open a sagging door. Hello? Hello? Hello, anybody about?
Annie Lyme?
Oh, yes. I was supposed to meet...
No.
Not even nice. More fool
him.
Look what she's waking up.
Oh, you've come back to us, Mr. Lyme.
Congratulations, Gripple.
Hey.
Congratulations for not dropping me into the sea after your cabin boy slugged me.
What's this about cabin boy?
Oh, pay no mind, Jink.
But as for chucking you in the harbor, matey, that would have been too easy.
Easy?
I want to see you squirm a bit before sinking you. Didn't think I'd let you walk in nice as a pleasing face over my hard-earned living, did you?
Oh, certainly. I still intend to, good boy.
Oh, listen to him,
man.
But, Colonel Von Gooch takes an even more humorous view of the situation.
You say Von Gooch?
Oh, I did. You know him.
That is why he came here so bold. He has got protection from the
Dowsing. I'll sign you on, Mr. Lyon, but it's going to take more than your fancy to whore Von Gooch.
How do you mean?
Everybody's against me, the police, both French and occupation. Now even the French underground's after me skin. I'm afraid to sell. You find a safe way of making customer contact, matey, and you're in.
But can't your corrupt colonel assist you?
How'd you know that?
Of course I knew it. Of course I mentioned that.
Still no like him, Cripple.
They like the money, don't just so I stay out of this. After all, Mr. Lyme asked for this. It's his neck.
And with that reassuring spirit of goodwill, would you care to show me your stockpile of goods, Gripper? After all, before I can sell, I must make sure of my merchandise, since my life depends on it.
Orson Welles returns in just a moment as the third man. The third man continues with Violet, Sweet Violet.
I gambled and won. The old Lyme luck paid off. Probably the one corrupt official in the occupation who had dealings with Griffo had also walked into my way, Colonel. I was playing a very dangerous game, and I was determined to play to the end. After all, such a challenge was the only pleasure I could find in those times. Griffith's warehouses loaded with black market merchandise, including guns and plane parts. All I had to do was to find a way of, well, distribution. Then I remembered a cracked voice and the odor of faded violets.
Violet! Sweet Violet! Who's going to feel safe when they go there smaller a bit? Oh, it's you, young gentleman.
Good morning, Annie.
Did you find Griffith?
Yes. Isn't it raw for you to be out today, Mother?
We didn't know better. What was the gas turned off and they wanted to lock down if I don't take it fast, Rick?
Supposing I buy out your stock and we go over to that inn for something warm, Annie.
You come to the inn with a light for me?
It would be an honor. Come along, Mother.
Want
another cup, Annie?
Oh, Lord, love you. I've had three already. Well, maybe I'll
bet
that one more.
That, my girl. I'll brew the potion myself.
Oh, I never thought gentle Annie would see the likes of this again.
No, why not?
Oh, it had been 40 years ago, when I was animal rare. But I was a toast, Mr. Lyon. Would you like to hear a piece? Violet! Sweet Violet!
Please, Annie, I want to help you.
Why?
I've already told you. Perhaps I can make up in a measure for all that heartbreak you had.
You've got a heap of men in the soup, Mr. Lyon.
Then how's this for a starter? I'll bring you flowers from the wholesale market. The best and freshest blossoms I can find. And they won't cost you a penny.
You'll do this for me?
If you do something for me, Mother.
Anything, Mr. Lyon. Anything.
You're going to have the briskest floral trade in Marseille. And whoever asks you for Violet, Sweet Violet. Now remember.
Violet, Sweet Violet. Violet, Mary.
Yes, but they must say those exact words when they make a purchase. When they do, you give them my address. I'm staying at the front door, the Golden Sweet.
Golden Sweet.
There'll be someone who'll give you envelopes. These, I will collect everything.
You have business of such
folks? Call it the business of, freedom.
Freedom. The underground. Always a fine, brave day. The thought of my fine, gentle Annie.
Just follow my instructions, Father. You make us both happy.
Oh, I will.
And now another spot of tea.
I agree with the parrot, Mr. Lyon. The old thing's a rum idea.
But you can't disagree with its efficacy, Chris. For gentle Annie will siphon the contract. Either come to me at the Golden Fleece, or leave her money in the envelope for the larger merchandise festival. Nobody will suspect. Annie has sold her wares on the steps of St. Vincent's for years.
How do you know it'll work?
How do you know it'll fail?
I'm not the one to wait to find out. Buying flowers to show black market. What's this business coming to?
Things are difficult the whole world over, old man.
I've got another bucket of grog with me, Mr. Lyon.
Not tonight, Griff, old man. Remember, I have to be up with the birds. By violets, while the dew is still fresh. The noose was tightening, and the gentleman who perched atop a powder keg and lit the fuse had nothing on Harry Lyon at the moment. If luck had been with me thus far, why not start it? Business was booming. Gentle Annie was the biggest thing in black market circles. She could have known she was more famous now than she'd ever been in the old music hall days. Then suddenly, like a bolt from what they like to call the blue, the envelope trade fell off. One day, two, three. I questioned Annie.
Well, Mr. Lyon, what did Annie have to say for herself?
Nothing helpful, Griffle. I believe she believes in elves. Now, what would you suggest? Should I go twist her arm?
You don't, I will.
You?
Find out what's happening to them envelope orders, Mr. Lyon, or it's her neck and yours.
Griffo's ultimatum didn't leave me much choice. Plain the next day, I passed St. Victor's at High Noon. Annie was loyally crying her wares. I visited her again just at dusk, sitting down for sudden night. I didn't announce myself, but moved into the shadow of the fortress-like pillars of the ancient church.
Violets! Sweet violets! They smell sweeter than the rain!
There were no buyers. I saw several envelopes on a tray. She had a few flowers left. By the way, it had been a bright day for my elderly friend. Annie sighed, pulled her shawl tighter, and was getting ready to close shop when another pedestrian appeared, a taut, thin woman who might have been beautiful once. Her hair was tawny in the fading light. Her voice hard and brittle. She darted toward Annie.
I
want
him on the flower, Annie.
Huh? Oh, it's you again, girl.
Get him out. The violet. One.
Oh, it's coming on. Ready to leave. You better spend your package for butter milk, girl. It looks like you could stand some food.
As Annie fumbled with her blossom, the woman snatched the envelopes and whatever money she could. I had my feet. Was ready to move in. And gentle Annie caught her in the very act.
Here.
Of course, the inevitable happened. Once the authorities learned my identity, the prefect was called in and my somewhat oversized official dossier. Feared that I was
I am not at all convinced of your innocence, monsieur. Annie.
Yes, sir.
Are you acquainted with this gentleman?
Innocent? He's a good, kind man, sir. And he's taken me in hand.
Your benefactor has betrayed you, Annie. He has been using you in the black market trade.
No. Yes. I don't believe it.
And he arrested me for printing a few pennies.
That may be the least of your crimes, mademoiselle. Evidence may prove that you were cooperating with Monsieur Lyon.
I never saw the fool in life.
May I say a word in my own behalf?
But of course, monsieur.
It seems that the main bone of contention is the black market ring.
Yes, Captain.
If I deliver the head of the ring to you, will that satisfy the authorities and clear my good name?
You can do this?
I can. The name is Gripple.
And he's former, that's what he is.
This is most interesting, Monsieur Lyme. Are you prepared to vouch for such a statement?
Oh, yes, yes, I am.
Have the kindness to ask Colonel von Gut and the second witness to enter, Silver Bay.
Immediately,
monsieur.
Von Gut.
Oh, sir, does this mean more trouble for you?
I'm beginning to wonder, Annie.
You sent for me, Herr Prefect.
I understand that the occupation had information on this man, Colonel von Gut.
Text is correct. Herr Heilheim is an international confidence man, capable of any major crime.
Oh,
and you, monsieur, you are called...
Just you call me Chink, mister. That is all I ever asked.
But this man, monsieur. And now, monsieur Chink, I understand that you have charges.
That me do. This Mr. Lyme comes to closeness, tries for Gritton to black market deal.
Well, monsieur?
This man's story is a pack of lies, monsieur. He is Gripple's axe man.
It is Mr. Lyme's word against mine, Prefect. I order Herr Lyme died.
May I offer a way out of this crisis?
Remember his word, he says. He smooth one Gripple.
You see, gentlemen, his own words, the fungus chink.
Well, I must admit.
And if I bring in Gripple, while your men are investigating the abandoned warehouse on Old Harbor.
I want no unnecessary trouble. If Herr Lyme guarantees to eradicate the black market trade here in Marseille, we have no further interest in him.
Thank you, Colonel. And now, Monsieur the Prefect?
We shall wait until you bring him before, Monsieur Lyme. Then we shall discuss your future.
I am no advocate of physical conflict, but sometimes nothing to do about it is necessary. After gaining the Prefect's promise of the chink to be detained, I sought out Gripple. He wasn't at Crow's Nest, not at the warehouse, but I did find him in a small boat at the end of the dock, just casting off.
Come out of that boat, Gripple.
I'll just take the A-line word and so on. That's what I said. I'll send them better than killing you.
Not quite, my friend.
Oh, no. Oh, I don't know if you and my hope will get you.
Hello, Gripple. I was most untidy when I delivered Gripple to the authorities. Dampish and somewhat bloody. But the law was satisfied, at least insofar as the occupation was concerned. The black market ring was ended, and I had a clean bill of health. But the French préfet suggested that I take passage on the next ship out. In fact, he was at the dock to see me off. Returns in just a moment. I call this story Violet, Sweet Violet. Now maybe you know the reason why. Flowers can mean so many things, and if ever you should want to send me a message that reeks of villainy most foul, send me a bunch of violets and say it with flowers.